who was most impressive in the Fred Best Classic. And also tonight, it's been a while since we've had a Grand Slam at the tennis ball, and we have the second one beginning this evening at Roland Garros for the French Open.
Yes, indeed. Of course, the tennis action hotting up there with the French Open, and I see in the paper there that Serena Williams is going for her 20th Grand Slam, and plenty of Aussies engaged as well. Bernard Tomic, Nick Kyrgios, to mention a couple, and on the women's side, Sam Stosur and Casey Delacroix. So all that French Open action starting tonight, and joining us online to talk tennis is Todd Woodbridge. Good morning to you, Todd.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Well, French Open, what a tournament it looks to be.
Yeah, look, it's obviously the second slam of the year, and a couple of the big stories, you just mentioned Serena, but I think the biggest story as we get into the first couple of days is Novak Djokovic and his attempt to win the French, the only one that he hasn't won, and it's an opportunity for him, obviously, to take the full set of titles. He goes in incredible form, hasn't lost since the Australian Open. So in some ways, I think there's a huge amount of pressure on him. And the real, like, intriguing fact that's come about is that the form of Rafael Nadal over the last few months hasn't been what we're used to, particularly on clay, which has been his favourite surface. And he goes into the French seeded fifth. So when the draw came out on Friday, what should happen? He ends up in the same quarter as Novak Djokovic. So effectively, a tournament like the French would have loved that as their final. But if everything goes according to plan, they'll play each other in the quarters, which will be a test for both of them.
And reading for yourself, Todd, I had a look at the Tennis Australia website this morning, and you touched on the task that Novak Djokovic has, and it's almost the case, and you wrote about it, that perhaps his greatest enemy in the next 2 weeks could be himself in winning the title and getting that career Grand Slam.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the hardest part when you haven't lost for a long time is knowing that eventually a loss is going to come along, and when it's at a tournament that you want so desperately, you put so much energy and focus into couple of things. One, trying to not think about it, and then two, when it actually gets there, you can't avoid it because you go into the press conference every day and they talk about it to you and stuff like that. So, and from a personal experience, of course, when I was hitting the ball, no one knew the calibre of a Djokovic, but Mark Woodford and I faced a similar plight. That was why I wrote about it, because it took us 5 years to win the French, the last one that we actually won in our set of Grand Slams together, and we tried everything. We tried the schedule, we tried psychos, therapies and all sorts of stuff, and nothing seemed to work for us until we finally went to the last year and said, oh, well, it doesn't look like it's going to happen, and we relaxed and we won it. So whether he goes through those emotions or not, he's a little bit more robotic in the way he's able to perform than perhaps Mark and I were, but I still think it's a big issue for him.
Well, you shouldn't be putting yourself down too much, Todd. I had a look this morning. Grand Slam winner on 23 occasions with the doubles and the mixed doubles combined with Mark Woodford for most of them. So you're pretty happy to talk about how well you were hitting the ball across the net. So that's all okay. You talked about the fact that Djokovic is now in the same quarter with Rafael Nadal, but also Andy Murray on the same half. And Andy Murray's probably been the second best performed player in the last month during the clay season.
Yeah, definitely. He's gone back-to-back wins in Munich and then Madrid, then took a break to go into Roland Garros as fresh as he could possibly be. I think one of our players sits in that section too, which is a bit of a disappointment in a sense, is Nick Kyrgios. He would be set to play Murray in the third round if everything goes according to plan. And of all the big guns that actually Nick's come up against, he's had more trouble against Murray than any of the others. So the draw, not as kind as we hoped it might have been for Nick, because I think he's got a good future on the clay. Maybe not to go super deep this year, but he can certainly perform well at it. But Murray, like you have said, I think, for Djokovic, he ended up getting the toughest of all the draws, and things, as they often have in years gone by, look pretty nice for Roger Federer. Number two seed, had a pretty solid year, sits down the bottom of the draw, and, another opportunity for him. He's only won the French on one occasion. Might be another chance for him.
And looking at the half of his draw, he's got Thomas Berdych, Kei Nishikori and Stan Wawrinka, who looked the biggest challengers from that point of view. You touched on Nick Kyrgios. He'll be up against Dennis Istomin in the first round, and he's seeded 29th. Also, Bernard Tomic is seeded 27th. There's six Aussie men in action. How do you think they'll fare? Could they get through to the second week of the tournament?
I think we'll struggle at the top of the draw. The problem is that Tomic plays Luca Vani, an Italian. Kokkinakis plays Balashvili. Now, they can both win, but they sit in right near Novak Djokovic, right up the very top of the draw. So that's going to be tough for them to go particularly deep. And then we've talked about Kyrgios. He'll get through Istomin, I would have thought. Duckworth plays another Italian, Arna Baldi's. Good chance for him to go through to a second round. Matosevic, Bellucci. Matosevic hasn't played particularly well this year at all. He's had a struggle, and Bellucci's a very good clay courter. And then Sam Groth comes up against Cuevas from Uruguay. Sounds more like a drink. I promise you, he won't be feeling so good after he's had his Cuevas, because that's a tough one.
All right, so that's the side of the men's. Now, looking at the women, that does seem a lot more wide open. Just Serena Williams, she's in the same half as Petra Kvitova, Caroline Wozniacki, Eugenie Bouchard, and Victoria Azarenka. And then the other half, you've got Maria Sharapova with Simona Halep, Ana Ivanovic, and Carla Suarez Navarro, who's sort of been rejuvenated in the last month. Do you agree that it is a lot more wide open, the women, compared to the men?
Well, I think the women's draw came out nice. If you look at where all the top women you would think would be able to get through. There's nothing loaded up like what happened on the men's side of the draw. But Serena, she took a break too. She was in Rome, pulled out. I would imagine that was just to freshen up and get ready for Roland Garros. It's been the hardest one for her to win, but I think she's got in her sights that record of becoming the greatest Grand Slam singles champion of all time, because that's to match Margaret Court's record. She's looking at winning 20. She's got to get to 24 to match, and I think is well and truly possible. So I think she's completely motivated. I'm just looking at the bottom with where Sam Stosur sits, and she comes up against Maria Sharapova in the third round. And I think Sam has just been chipping away, getting a bit better again over the last month. Clay's always been a good surface for her. She changed coaches, went back to her old coach Dave Taylor, which has automatically seemed to rejuvenate and build a bit of confidence. But as is the case with Sam, there are certain opponents that she just does not do well against, and one of them's Sharapova, and another one's Lucy Safarova, the lefty from the Czech Republic. And they all sit in the same section for Sam, so that's going to be quite tough. But of all of the top women, the contenders, the defending champ, Sharapova, I think Sharapova will be looking at her draw the same way, going, oh, geez, I don't really want to play Stosur in the third round. So that will be the intriguing first week battle that I think we'll see in the women's side down the bottom half.
And the only quirk with the women's draw with the Australians, there's also six women along with the six men at Roland Garros, and they're all in the same quarter, so the weight's worked out, and two of them playing each other with Casey Dellacqua against Ulla Tomljanovic. So a bit of a shame there with the way the draw's worked out.
Yeah, look, it's almost like the Australian Championships down the bottom section, which is exactly what you don't want, but at least let's hope that one of them gets through. I think one of them that your listeners may not be really aware of who's playing for Australia is Daria Gavrilova. She's been living down in Melbourne for the last 2.5 years, has Australian residency, papers and passports are just about all through to be representing Australia in Fed Cup and the Olympics and so forth. And she started the year ranked way outside the top 100, beat Sharapova in Miami, got to the semis of Rome a week or so ago, and is now ranked 45 in the world. And she is a terrific, vibrant young talent. She dates Luke Saville, who's of course been the top junior in the world from Australia. And Dasher, as she is called, she's really one to watch. She's got a good first round draw that I think she'll get through, and it's something for our followers to sort of get behind and have a look at it, because great personality. She also was a former world number one junior and then had some issues with a knee op and so on, and has got it going, so a good one to keep out for.
We'll definitely keep an eye on her. And the good thing as well with Sam Stosur, she won overnight the tournament in Strasbourg, so her first win for a while there. For yourself, Todd, if we were to put you on the absolute spot, who do you think will end up winning the men's and women's championships at the French Open?
I'm going to go for Djokovic, even though I've said it's going to be tough. I just think he's been far and away the best player in the world the last sort of 8 months, and I can't see anything going wrong other than he gets a bit tight and he doesn't finish it, doesn't finish the job off. On the women's side of things, I think it's a little wide open, and I think it's hard to pick the champion in the first week. But going on form and the way things are dominated in the women's game, you've still got to put Serena at number one. But for Serena, though, the first three rounds are important in Paris. She gets a little tight and a little tense, and I think that that's going to be difficult for her. As soon as she's past that, then it's like a train. It's very, very hard to stop her. So, you know, I've gone for the two top seeds, which is not anything surprising, but both their form is well and truly above the rest.
Well, there is a reason why they're the top seeds, and you talked about that with Serena Williams. She had that hiccup last year against Garbine Muguruza. She was out early in the tournament, so we'll see what happens there. Todd, thank you for your time this morning chatting about the French Open. Always good to have you on. As I said, a 23-time Grand Slam winner. We'll see your views on Tennis Australia throughout the French Open. Thank you again for your time, Todd. Much appreciated.
Pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
Good, thanks, gentlemen. They're underway now at Hawira, race number one on the card.
Sometime lucky third, Just Ishii. They arrive at the second fence on the journey, all over it safely. Flying Cossack is fifth over on the outside, 2.5 away to Jimmy Cat, Lumiere Blue, and two lengths to the favourite, Super Turf, who's the last one. So down the side they race, and they've got about 2,500 metres left to go as they make their way around the turn. And it's I've No Idea over on the outside of Field Days, and they break away by 2.5. On Sometime Lucky and Just Ishii. Now that's the first division. There's about six lengths away to Flying Cossack, Jimmy Cat, Super Turf, and Lumiere Blue back over on the inside. So racing in two divisions, it's the Peter Hay Kitchens Maiden Hurdles, and they're coming into the straight now to find fences 3, 4, and 5. And it's I've No Idea and Sean Fannin over on the outside leading the way. Here's the first at the top of the straight. Up and over the leaders go, and the field all stream over it safely. Field Days is second, Sometime Lucky and Just Ishii. The next in the lane, and just jumping a fraction awkwardly over that fence was I've No Idea. Here's the third, and jumped that much better. Field Days is second. The second division get over that fence okay. Three lengths away, Just Ishii. A length and a half to Sometime Lucky. Six lengths away, Flying Cossack. Lumiere Blue. Over on the outside, Jimmy Cat and Super Turf is racing well off the fence, going around the turn out of the straight. So over towards the 1,600 metres mark, and it's I've No Idea who's opened up by nearly three lengths on Field Days, and Just Ishii's a length and a half away third. Three lengths further afield, then came Sometime Lucky from Super Turf, making a beeline around the outside of those runners. Jimmy Cat, then came Lumiere Blue, and a length to Flying Cossack, who's last. Past the 1,400 metres mark, they'll have three fences down the back to jump, and they're shortly approaching fence number six, and it's I've No Idea who's opened up by nearly five lengths now on Field Day second. First down the back straight, jumping it nicely, I've No Idea. They're all over it safely. Just Ishii, three parts away third. Four lengths away then came Sometime Lucky. Over the next they go. Super Turf is a long way off them. Jimmy Cat, Flying Cossack, and Lumiere Blue's called it a day. Here's the third and final down the back straight. I've No Idea leads by a length now. Over on the outside, Just Ishii, and then came Field Days. There's 10 lengths away to Sometime Lucky, and then came Super Turf, and the rest, well, they've all had it coming down the side now. They've got 700 metres left to go. These three are the three that you want to be on. In particular, Just Ishii and Gary Walsh, who set sail for home now. 600 metres left to go. Field Days are stalking him everywhere, and then came I've No Idea. There's an absolute country mile back to the rest of them. Just Ishii and Gary Walsh is cruising around the turn. 400 metres left to go. Only has three fences left to get over. Field Days and Michael Mitchell's a length and a half away. Four lengths away to I've No Idea. Eight lengths away to Super Turf. Sometime Lucky. Jimmy Cat third last. Just Ishii over it nicely from Field Days. Here Kay come to the second last. Just Ishii and Field Days. They skip over it together. Eight lengths away, I've No Idea and Super Turf. Here's the last. Field Days travelling like a winner. Jumped it like a winner too. And is racing away for a jumping debut win. And Field Days by 2.5. Second over Just Ishii, 12 lengths away to Super Turf, the favourite. Another 8 lengths to I've No Idea, a long way back to Sometime Lucky. Jimmy Cat didn't jump the last couple, and just coming down the straight now, Lumiere Blue and Flying Cossack, they also missed the last three fences.
Number 4, Field Days, the winner there for Michael Mitchell at 7.10 and 1.70. Number 8, Just Ishii at 2.10, 1 Super Turf at $1.60. Approaching a 10:15.
There's even more to play for with Trackside, with a chance to win a mega $350,000. We'll give a Trackside winner the chance to win up to $350,000 on one race each week for 5 weeks. And it could be you. Jump on tabtrackside.com.au to find out more.
T's and C's apply. Permit number LTPS-15-01744. Gamble responsibly.
Join Hancox Racing No. 7 Limited to own and race a team of 6 horses in 4 states for 3 years for just $1,250 and no more to pay. Colts by More Than Ready, Pluck and Street Boss, and fillies by Mossman, Falvalon and Good Journey. Trainers Greg Urell, Robbie Griffiths, Barb Joseph, Leon McDonald, Bjorn Baker and Barry Baldwin. Call Shelley or Rod on 0352749171. See hancox.com.au. There is a payment plan available. Shares can only be purchased on the form attached to the prospectus.
Let's get back to Tab Talk on your sports leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Tab Talk for this Sunday morning. Trent Langscale, of course, we were talking tennis and the French Open. We'll just have a quick look at the markets there.
Yes, just on the back of the chat with Todd Woodbridge there, Paul, we'll have a look firstly at the men's winner, Novak Djokovic, a dominant favourite, as he spoke about, $1.75, despite never having won the title at Roland Garros. Rafael Nadal, $4 second favourite. Andy Murray and Kei Nishikori at $9. Roger Federer at $13. And then Stan Wawrinka, the best of the rest, at $21. The women's winner, a lot more competitive. Serena Williams is the $3.50 favourite. Maria Sharapova, $4.50. Simona Halep at $5. Victoria Azarenka, $10. Petra Kvitova at $11. And then you get out to Caroline Wozniacki at $21 and Eugenie Bouchard at $23. So they're the winner markets for the French Open beginning at 7 o'clock this evening. The coverage on Fox Sports.
Our next guest on Tab Talk today is Trevor Lobb, the CEO from Emirates Park. And of course, last week we were talking about the success of WA filly Delicacy, of course, the Australasian Oaks and Derby winner, the daughter of Almaha, which stands, of course, at Emirates Park, and they followed up success again yesterday.
That was the case, Paul. Yes, Emirates Park, they are the owners of Najum, who was brilliant yesterday at Doomben, winning the Fred Best Classic, and we have Trevor Lobb on the line now. Trevor, good morning to you.
Good morning, boys.
Congratulations again on yesterday. It was another rise in class, but the Northern Meteor filly, she just handled it with aplomb.
Yeah, she's certainly putting it together now. She's been a work in progress, and Guy and her staff have done a marvellous job with her. But, you know, after she won the Hawkesbury Guineas in Sydney at Rose Hill, we sat and talked with her, and she said, look, take her to Brisbane, the weather will do her the world of good too, and as we saw yesterday, it certainly has.
It's always good to head up to Queensland this time of year, a bit of sunshine when you're down in the southern states where it's a bit nippy at the moment and everything else. So, Najum, that was the fifth win from 7 career starts, and there were the 2 seconds as well, so she's building an impressive record. Wasn't the easiest race for Tommy Berry yesterday to ride. He didn't have the easiest passage, having drawn barrier 15 of 16, and she was wide for a fair portion of the race, but once she hit the home turn, it was all over Red Rover.
Yeah, well, I mean, she did draw her out, but as Tommy said, you know, once he got her forward, she sort of relaxed and just travelled well within herself. So, you know, that's one of the things that she has developed in the last few runs is just relaxing in the run. And, you know, when he hit the button, she said, did explode, didn't she?
Yeah, and it was probably a good sense as well, because from the Hawkesbury Guineas win a couple of weeks ago at Rose Hill, the preparation was interrupted a little bit just due to the Hawkesbury having that postponed meeting, but seems to have got through that pretty well.
Yes, I mean, as I said, she's actually thriving with the racing. So, you know, at this point we'll head on with our plan. She came here primarily to have a look at the tiara, and, you know, at this point we haven't altered from that program, albeit a lot of people say we should play a late entry and run in the Stradbroke, but, you know, we don't want to rush her. She's taking time, she's doing everything right, and it, you know, who knows, it might be just a step too far in it at this stage.
Yes, well, our bookies were pretty impressed with what they saw yesterday. Trevor, actually gone up now, the $5.50 favourite for the Stradbroke handicap, but it has got in brackets not nominated, so I guess that'll be the next thing. Has there been a chat overnight with His Excellency Nasser Luter, who's the manager of Emirates Park, about possibly going to the Stradbroke, or is it just Tats Tiara was the main goal, but we'll see what happens?
Well, you know, we have had a slight chat about it, but, you know, there won't be any decision made straight away. We've got time. Just the filly herself will tell us, so, you know, via Gay, and and the riders, so then we'll make our decision a bit later. But at this stage, no, we would be still heading towards the Tiara.
Okay, and also you touched on Gay Waterhouse. Of course, any superlative is superfluous when we talk about her. She seems to have found the key to the success of Najum. The blinkers have been applied during this campaign, and as we've seen in the Hawkesbury Guineas and yesterday, it seems to have been the key to that success.
Well, it certainly has helped. It's made her focus and, sort of getting her to hit the line as strong as anything has done in recent runs.
Now, if he sells there at Emirates Park, I'm guessing looking towards the spring, is there, the sky's the limit? Do you feel that she's getting around the 1350, 1400 metre mark at the moment? Could she be a Cox Plate contender, or would you look at those mares races down in the spring, perhaps the Meyer Classic being the big one during the Flemington Carnival?
That was always the case, the Meyer, to look at that. And we just thought, well, we can bring her up here and just see what level she does get to, and if she does, well, she'll go back for possibly a crack at that or the Coolmore Classic in the autumn.
Yeah, wait till the autumn. So that's why, I guess that's that waiting game that you talked about the Stradbroke and also the Tats Tiara. There's no point overburdening her. She's had a pretty long preparation. I think it started in mid-March, so it has been a while, and you've had an interruption with that Hawkesbury Guineas being postponed a week, so that's looking at the welfare.
Yeah, that's right, and I mean, she's only mentally young at this stage too. So, but the next week, she'll sort of let us know how she's bounced through this race, and we can sort of make a decision from there.
Pretty handy to have her in the stable. That's the main thing, isn't it, Trevor?
It is. It's always good to have one that you like to get up in the morning to go and look at.
Yeah, Gay would be pretty happy if he sells there at Emirates Park. It'd be a terrible headache at the moment to figure out what you're going to do with Najum. She's just been terrific this campaign. You mentioned as well you're still up there in Queensland. I believe there's a Magic Million sales today there as well. You're checking out?
Yes, the sale started this morning. Weanlings today and tomorrow, and then broodmares Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I'll be up here for the week, and hopefully there might be some purchases made if we can add to our broodmare strength. We'd really like to.
Very fantastic. So well done yesterday. It was a tremendous win, and as I said, the bookies have been pretty impressed, and the punters were as well, because the June went up $4.40 on Wednesday. Trevor eventually started yesterday at $3.10, and there were plenty of big bets on her. There was an $11,000 bet on her at $3.80 placed on Thursday. So the punters were pretty confident, and they were pretty with what they saw in the last 200 metres. Trevor, thanks for your time this morning. Good luck again with everything at Emirates Park, and we'll just see how the June goes in the next couple of weeks.
All the best, boys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks very much, Trevor. Trevor and Trent will be looking at some more sport markets in a moment. Firstly, though, confirming that result at Hawira in New Zealand. Race number one, Over the Jumps. Number four, Field Days, was 7.10, 1.70. Number eight, Just Ishi, 2.10. One, Super Turf, 1.60. And number six was fourth, Ivanoida. That's the first on the card at Hawira in New Zealand. Our next live race is race number two from that venue, and that's due at 10:40. Trent.
Well, we'll have a look at the fixed odds markets, Paul, because as we've just heard from Trevor, the Stradbroke handicap is now an interesting proposition. I believe the weights come out tomorrow. So, as mentioned, Najum, it's got in the brackets, not nominated. We don't know what will happen, but he's currently the $5.50 favourite. Lomosti, who was pretty impressive at Flemington yesterday, winning the straight six, has been $9 into seven. You've got General Leafe, 15 into nine, and he was third in the Dooman 10,000 yesterday. Black Harp Art, who ran in the Goodwood last week, is also at $9. Delectation and Noidart, $10. And then at $13, there's a heap of horses, including Bowman, who was the winner of the Dooman 10,000 yesterday, $31 into 13. The runner-up, Charlie Boy, 21 into 13. And also at the $13 line, you've got Bring Me the Maid, Lucky Hustler, and Sacred Star. So that's the Stradbroke handicap update. The other feature on June the 6th is the Queensland Derby. And Master of Arts, who was most unlucky in the Grand Prix Stakes yesterday, ran third, has now assumed favouritism, $7.50 into $4. You've got Winks at $7. Saddler's Lake, $5 out to $8, was an easing favourite after what occurred yesterday. Upham, who won the Grand Prix Stakes, $21 into $8. And also you've got Winks on that line as well, around the $7 mark. Bohemian Lily was $26 into 13 after she won the Roses yesterday at Doomben. So that's the Stradbroke Handicap and the Queensland Derby there on June the 6th at Doomben. The Queensland Oaks is next Saturday at the same venue. Still an all-in market. Winx is the $2.50 favourite. Bohemian Lily, $9.50 into 5 after she won the Roses yesterday. Sabrina, who was unlucky at Randwick yesterday, $11 into 7. You've got Ballet Suite, who missed yesterday's Roses, at $7.50, and then Ungrateful Ellen, the next best, at $11. So that's just touching on the Queensland futures. The Queensland Oaks next Saturday, and then the week after, you've got the Stradbroke Handicap and the Queensland Derby.
And plenty else happening in sport, of course. I'd imagine there'd be plenty of interest already in the State of Origin commencing on Wednesday night. The markets are up, plenty of them too, for match number one.
Absolutely. We'll have a look at that first, as you've talked about it. Wednesday night at ANZ Stadium, where New South Wales have a great record in the opening game at the Homebush venue there. They're $2.10 outsiders, though. Queensland at $1.75. In line betting, Queensland are giving away a 2.5-point start. Now, for the overall Origin winner, Queensland are the $1.55 favourites, and New South Wales at $2.50. And there's a lot of support, Paul, for the Maroons to win 3-0. So there's not too much interest there with New South Wales winning the series. But there has been a lot of injury concerns from Queensland. Dally Cherry-Evans is out. There's also some conjecture over Billy Slater and Greg Inglis. So that could perhaps buoy the hearts of New South Wales fans heading into Origin 1 on Wednesday night. Just the one game today in round 11 of the NRL. It's been abbreviated with Origin 1. 4 o'clock at GIO Stadium. Canberra $1.42 against Canterbury at $3. Now our line, Canberra is giving away a 3.5-point start. That's at $1.55, and Canterbury plus 3.5 at $2.45. There's been some changes particularly to the Canterbury team. So if you're looking for the line that's around about the $1.90 each of two mark, you look in the super line and it's around about 6.5 points. In the margin betting at the end of normal time, the Raiders by 13 or more is the favoured way at $2.50. You've got 1 to 12 at $3. The Bulldogs 1 to 12 at $4 and 13 plus at $7.50. So just the one game in round 11 of the NRL this afternoon, and then Newcastle against Brisbane tomorrow night at Hunter Stadium. Also in the AFL, 3 games to finish round 8. The first of these start at 1:10 at Etihad Stadium. You've got Essendon $1.20 against the Brisbane Lions at $4.80. In line betting, the Bombers are giving away a 28.5-point start. The second of the matches are 3:20 first bounce at the MCG, where Melbourne are $3.45 chances against the Western Bulldogs $1.33, and in line betting the Bulldogs are giving away an 18.5-point start. And then the twilight fixture, a 4:40 start at the Adelaide Oval, Port Adelaide $1.30 against Richmond at $3.55, with the Power giving away a 23.5-point start. And just on the premiership, after Hawthorn lost again last night to the Sydney Swans, Hawthorn are now sharing favouritism with Fremantle. They're undefeated after 8 rounds. They're going beautifully at the $3.25 mark, and the Swans are at $4. So the Swans, as mentioned, they're going quietly about their business, which is hard to do when you've won 6 of your first 8 games, but there's a lot of talk about Fremantle. And then GWS, weren't they impressive yesterday, Paul? Beating Adelaide. Now their third straight win, the first time they've done that in the club's history. So just another milestone that they've achieved.
$51 at the moment for the premiership.
It would be a fairy tale in their fourth season. It would be an outstanding achievement. I think the finals is certainly on the agenda now, and I know that Neil Cordy will be on tomorrow with Nick Quinn, and I know that Neil Cordy was very bullish about their chances making the 8 at the start of the season, so he's looking pretty good, and Shane Mumford just a tower of strength at the moment. Just a couple of other sports. The NBA, the Western Conference Finals, Game 3 at 11 o'clock this morning. The Houston Rockets, they're down 2-0 in the series. They're $1.85 at home, though, against the Golden State Warriors at $2. The $1.95 line in offer throughout the NBA playoffs. Houston giving away a 1-point start. For the NBA winner, the Golden State, they lead their series 2-0. They're $1.42 favourites. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they're up 2-0 in their series against the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference, and they won both games in Atlanta, so they can possibly do the sweep at home. They're at $2.75. Then you've got Houston at $41 and the Atlanta Hawks at $51. So unless there's a miracle comeback in either of the conference final series, it does look like the NBA finals will feature at least one Aussie from both sides. Andrew Bogut and the Golden State Warriors, and then Matthew Dellavedova and the Cleveland Cavaliers. We won't worry about Steph Curry and LeBron James. They're pretty good on their own. Also, the EPL, the last round of the season, all matches at midnight this evening. Chelsea, we know they'll be on top. Manchester City will finish second. The big story is down in the relegation battle. Burnley and QPR will go down to the Championship. Now, Newcastle United are on 36 points and Hull City on 34. So Hull City, they have to win. They're $3.10 chances at home to Manchester United. So even if they do win, they do have to rely on Newcastle United slipping up at home to West Ham. Newcastle United, they're $1.80 at home. West Ham at $4 and the draw at $3.75. So an intriguing night from that point of view down the bottom of the ladder for the EPL. But we'll see Chelsea lift the trophy to win another EPL title this season.
Fair enough. All the latest from tab.com.au, the usual ways to bet.